FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 717-17. And by the way, questions, comments, email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. So looking at the situation in the White House, what's happening there, sometimes your so-called friends can do a lot more harm to you than your enemies. And I know the saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer, but there's a lot of frenemies there. People who should be friendly, but are really enemies out to frustrate, out to terminate Trump and his agenda. And Dr. Gerard Lomero is with us now to discuss what's happening. Gerard, great to have you back on the show.
Oh, it's great to be back with you always. You have a great show.
I appreciate that. So what's going on here in D.C.? They want to repeal Obamacare, but they don't really want to. They've been saying for 7 years they're going to repeal it. Now the Republicans have the opportunity to do it, and they can't get their act together. Is this a pathetic party, the party of stupid, or what?
I think this is the party that's embattled with itself. I think there have been for decades two camps in the Republican Party that are vying for power. There's the establishment, what used to be called the Eastern liberal establishment.
The Rockefeller
Republicans.
The Rockefeller and Republicans, right?
The Rockefeller Republicans. And then there are the conservatives, led back in 1964 by Barry Goldwater, but also showing up from time to time along the way in the eyes of other people. And so you have these two battling sub-parties, if you will. Neither one seems to really clearly dominate the other. The American people are on the side of conservatives. That's why they voted Donald Trump. They wanted an outsider to clean the swamp. And apparently, the leadership in the House and the Senate simply do not want to do what the American people want. And that foreshadows additional electoral changes that are going to take place.
Yeah, well, you know, the Republican Party, the establishment, those country club Republicans, Rockefeller Republicans, whatever you want to call them, they are the swamp. And until you get rid of them, nothing is going to change. They need to be intimidated, they need to be beaten, and they need to be driven into submission. Still, you do that, you got this McConnell, he's got a weak chin. My mother told me never trust any guy with a weak chin, and he's weak. He has a linguine spine. He has no backbone whatsoever. He needs to be gone.
Well, I'll tell you, I think ultimately that's going to happen one way or another. Right now, I'll start by saying the Democratic Party is all but gone completely. They're off the deep end. They are in an electoral wilderness. They have lost so many seats across the country for the last 8 years. They are essentially a non-party. So really what you have is the Republican Party, and within that party you have the two camps that we just talked about. Right. And that is where the real battle for the future lies. And I see something happening. I see that they're either going to go along with the American people, which means that in essence the conservatives will triumph over the establishment Republicans, and the Republican Party will turn into a conservative party, or in 2018, and I'm talking about what's happening right now, they have to go along with the American people right now, or in 2018, you're going to see an attempt by conservatives to oust many Republican incumbents. And there are going to be challenges left and right across the board for a more conservative Republican Party. Now, if that fails, then I think in 2020, there will be a new party, a conservative party. I think the conservatives will abandon the Republican Party. The Republican Party will become the minority party. The conservative party will be the one that's triumphant. And the Democrats will be a footnote on history.
Yeah, well, you know, the political parties are corrupt to the core. The founding fathers, I hate to go back to history, never, ever anticipated that they would be on the political landscape. And now, you know, we got this mess that is, you know, it's not Democrat or Republican. It's the uniparty, as they call it. And they're all good buddies. They're all friends. And look, if the Gerard, if the fate of the health care bill is riding on the health of John McCain's brain, then that party's got a problem because, you know, I hope he has a speedy recovery and a really, really long retirement, happy retirement, productive when he's out of the Senate. But the guy is no good. He doesn't have the interest of the country at heart. He's a warmonger. He just wants us to get into World War III with Russia so he can live out some kind of fantasy or so his sponsors can cash in on the war economy. This guy is the worst.
I think that really all of this problem, the scenario that we've seen built up over the decades, really is the fact that the people have been elected and then they get elected permanently. And I think that's where the source of the problem lies. If everyone were limited to two terms or one term, do their service, they do it like a stint in the military for 4 years or 6 years or 12 years, whatever the number is, they shouldn't be there for life. They shouldn't be there into their 80s and 90s. They shouldn't die in office.
No.
And I think that's the mistake. They get too comfortable and they become part of this big swamp, which really amounts to a swamp of corruption.
Yeah, it is the swamp. And yes, they become permanently affixed to the office. And look at Nancy Pelosi. I don't even think she knows who the president is. You know, one of the first things, if you get into a car accident, if you're injured, whatever happens, you know, you have some trauma, they ask you who the president is. And if you don't know who the president is, you know, they'll ask you, they'll ask you what today's date is. And, you know, they'll ask you what the capital is, but they always ask who the president is. And in fact, I was just watching it the other day on some TV show, PD Live, and they said, who's the president? And the guy said, Donald Trump. So he evidently was more coherent and in better shape after getting slammed in a car accident and having an airbag hit him in the head than Nancy Pelosi is, supposedly in perfect health.
Yeah, she's apparently having trouble remembering who the president is because she keeps going back to President Bush instead of President Trump.
Right. Well, that was her heyday, I guess.
I don't know. But there are other things, too. I think she was caught laughing at some question about North Korea recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of like treating it as kind of silly or something. I don't know. It's probably time for a lot of them to retire.
Yeah, she was never very bright. I mean, let's face it. When in her heyday, she was just a hack that knew how to work the system. She never, you know, she was the one that passed the bill that outlawed incandescent light bulbs. Now, maybe that's great now that we have all these cheap LEDs. But, you know, 15 years ago, whenever it was that she passed it, 12 years ago, we didn't have cheap LEDs. And it forced you to get those compact fluorescent bulbs, which put out horrible quality of light and had health issues to some, not to me, fortunately. So, you know, she is never the brightest bulb on the tree, for sure. But now, whatever she might have had, she's totally lost, and she's good for nothing.
Yeah, well, I think really these people need to get aligned with the American people. The American people have been very clear on what they want done with health care. They want Obamacare repealed and replaced. And in this particular area, I think Rand Paul really stands as sort of a person of conscience to say, you know, we're supposed to repeal this. Let's repeal it. This bill does not repeal it. Now, maybe it makes some improvements. We will grant that to the bill that's being tossed around the Senate now, that it has some improvements to it. But what happened to the promises? So many of those folks ran on repealing and replacing Obamacare. Even among the 17 candidates for president back in 2015, there were one after another that said the first thing they would do, you know, they always ask that question, what's the first thing you'll do as president? It was like repeal and replace Obamacare. Well, guess what? Republicans won the election. When is it going to happen? They have both houses and they can't get together on a bill?
Yeah, it's good disgusting. Grief. It's disgusting. You know, it's a fraud. It's really a fraud. And they're a fraud. The party stands for absolutely nothing and needs to be disbanded, just like the Democrats do. Basically, they're two criminal organizations. and they're in a turf battle. And the turf is whatever wealth you have remaining, they want to take and give to somebody else. But these guys are purely corrupt, and they need to be shown the door. And what's worse is, at least if somebody is young and corrupt, they got their future ahead of them. These people are old and corrupt, and all they have is their retirement and loss of power. They don't want to go through that, and they don't care about you, the American people. They don't care about anything except keeping power. And hey, they'll just blame it on Trump anyway, right?
Yeah. And by the way, my book, Great News for America, I went through the whole 240-year history of America. And that there's one part of the book that talks about how political parties have been really turned off by the American people. You don't hear about the Know-Nothing Party. You don't hear about the Whigs anymore. They're all sorts of parties that came and went, and there are all sorts of parties that were evolved or changed because of the electorate being unhappy with them. The electorate votes for two things in America, typically, and that's in the big elections, the critical elections. They vote for freedom. They want their freedom, all of it. And they vote for morality. They can't stand corruption in government. And that's what people were voting for in 2016. They wanted change, and the change they wanted, they want more freedom, things like less regulations, less taxes, and they want morality in government. They're sick of seeing what they're seeing, the revolving door, the lobbyists, the cozy relationships, on and on and on and on. And we could list all sorts of things and do five programs on just that.
Yes.
But basically, that's what they're voting for. And these people will not line up behind the American people. They want to fight the American people every step of the way. But you know what? The American people are going
to
win.
Well, from your mouth to God's keyboard, Gerard, I hope it's right. I hope you're right. I hope it happens. But it's going to be a fight, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to be a fight. So
that's right. It's a power fight. That's what the fights are about.
Yeah.
It's who's going to run this country, the American people or a small group of elite establishment folks?
Right. Yep. And never underestimate the lengths that they will go to hold on to things here, Gerard.
Well, that's what we're seeing with the war against Trump.
Yeah.
And all the other things we're seeing, trying to make a scandal out of the Russian collusion, which there was no collusion. And collusion, by the way, is not a crime. You're allowed to talk to other foreign countries. And that, as Hillary proved with the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And Senator Ted Kennedy proved with talking to the Russians about Reagan.
Right.
And wanting them to interfere with Reagan. So, this goes on, but they try to make a crisis where there is no crisis. They try to make, in fact, that's kind of one of the progressive socialist tactics all along. Everything is a crisis, global climate change, cranberry. You remember the cranberry crisis?
Yeah.
That was a big scare, and cell phones are going to cause cancer, and junk science goes wild on the socialist side of the house.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's like this is the situation. This is the way it is. And they better get with it, because if they don't, they got problems ahead of them. It's not a good situation. So what are we going to do here?
I was going to say the Democrats don't have such great outlook for 2018 either.
No.
They have 25 seats to defend out of about 32 or 33 that are running.
Mm-hmm.
And 25 seats to defend in this climate for the Democrats is bad news, given their positions on things.
Yeah.
Because American people are not real happy with them. And I think you're going to see Republicans have over a 60-vote majority, with many of those much more conservative than the incumbents that currently hold the seats.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think you're probably correct on that, and it's going to be interesting. Anyway, Gerard, find out more about you, read your work. Where's the best place to go?
Oh, greatnewsforamerica.com is my website. I've written four books. The most recent book is Great News for America, all about the 2016 election and what would follow. And the things I've predicted largely have come true and are coming true.
Hey, that's absolutely correct. And as always, we'll have a link to your page on our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. The Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz. Gerard, thanks so much for being on, and we will talk to you again real soon. Good health.
Always a pleasure.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.